doing the TBM work, but doing it with Laura as well, it's made me realize that in order to get to the truth of realizing who I am and what I truly want, I have to be seen.
Not only do I trust the relationship that we have built, but also I trust in myself.
From To Be Magnetic, this is the Expanded Podcast with your host, Lacey Phillips.
And your host, Jessica Gill.
As the leading destination for neural manifestation, we dispel the woo-woo in order to help you create real, tangible results based on neuroplasticity, psychology, epigenetics, and energetics. Our goal is to normalize the practice of manifestation and empower you to get into the driver's seat of your life in order to manifest the experiences, relationships, and things that most align with your authenticity. Part of our manifestation process entails expanding past your limiting subconscious beliefs. Therefore, by tuning into this podcast with interviews from experts, thought leaders, spiritual teachers, scientists, and those with neural manifestation success stories, you're starting the process of expanding your subconscious in order to see to believe that anything you desire is possible. And by pressing play, the process begins.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Expanded. Jessica here. I'm so excited because we are kicking off our very first dual process episode with accountability buddies, Lisa and Laura. We always talk about accountability buddies, especially around our challenges, and we have one that will be kicking off at the end of June, so stay tuned. But now is a really good time to hunker in and try to find an accountability buddy to go through this process with. You can ask them, is this a test? Is this a trigger? What do you think I should do? How should I navigate? We get so many questions from the community, and really all you need is a little bit of reflection. So Lisa and Laura help expand us in what does a truly reciprocal and supportive friendship dynamic look like. If you're out there manifesting a spiritual bestie, this is going to be the expander episode for you. Also, anyone that is trying to step through their fears to be seen, anyone that is navigating anxious attachment or sharing without fear of rejection and judgment, anyone that is potentially manifesting a career up level, anyone that is manifesting a remodel of their home, you will get so much out of this episode. And really what both Lisa and Laura touch on in such a true way is how to evolve to the next true version of high self-worth. And we have a really exciting announcement pairing with this episode. Did you know that since the beginning of TBM, Pathway members have been self-organizing magnetic meetups all around the world? They're free, self-facilitated gatherings where you can meet like-minded people, talk about your manifestation process, and work through anything that might be coming up. And we wanted to make it easier for everyone to join, to know when there's going to be one in your city, if you wanted to host one, to sign up. And we created a webpage where you guys can look at a map all over the world, where you're at, where you're based, create your own magnetic meetup if you want to host one, and also to join one that may be in your area. So check out our upgraded magnetic meetup page on the TBM site or in our show notes to find the meetup near you and start going through your process with support. And maybe you might even find your accountability buddy.
And now a word from our partners.
Not all probiotics are created equal. There are a million different products on the market promising to fix, rebalance, restore, reset your gut microbiome and gut barrier. But how many of them actually do? So many are not grounded in science, and that is why we are such fans of Seeds Daily Symbiotic. They are a 2-in-1 pre and probiotic capsule that actually reaches the gut. They are the most science-backed probiotic on the market. Their team of experts, some of which who even coined the original term probiotic, are rigorous about their research, testing, and the quality assurance of their product. Probiotics are fragile and sensitive to heat, oxygen, light, moisture, which makes it really hard for them to fully get to the part of the digestive tract that they support the most. That's why Seed created the VitaCap. It's their proprietary capsule and capsule delivery system, which helps get 100% of the probiotic strains to the part of the digestive system that impacts it the most, which is why Seed is such an effective probiotic. And that is why I make sure to take my Seed 2 capsules first thing in the morning with a cup of lemon water to start off my day. It has made such a difference in my digestive health, my gut barrier integrity, my gut immune function, and it's even had an incredible impact on my skin. So if you're looking for a probiotic that actually works, you can use the code TBM for 30% off your first month's supply of Seed's Daily Symbiotic. Again, that is code TBM for 30% off your first month's supply. You can check out the link in the show notes or go to seed.com/TBM.
All right, on to the episode.
Today we have our first process with accountability buddies. I am so excited for this. Welcome, Lisa and Laura.
Yay. Well, thanks for having us.
Thank you. We're excited to be here.
And fun fact, this is the first time we're doing a video podcast recording this that Lisa and Laura are meeting face to face. They have been virtual accountability buddies this entire time, support system through this process, and have not met face to face. And so this is a really cool moment getting to see you guys interact like this for the first time.
I feel like we're on an episode of Love is Blind a little bit. Like we've made that connection.
Yes.
Now we're here face to face. There's still a connection, by the way.
Oh, I love it. Let's kick off with one question so people can start to understand your astrology and maybe your pairing or something like that. But what is both of your sun, moon, and rising?
So I'm a Gemini rising and a Capricorn sun, and I'm a Cancer moon.
And Laura, what about you? What's your sun, moon, and rising?
Okay, I am a Leo sun, a Cancer moon, and a Virgo rising.
I have Cancer rising, so we all have a little element of that Cancer emotional side, so I think it's a good pairing between all three today.
Yes.
Yes.
And then what about cultural background and upbringing? Paint us a little picture. Lisa, kick us off here. How did your upbringing really sort of, I guess, define both in a positive and maybe some learning lesson ways of who you are today?
Well, so I grew up in a middle-class family, and it was a blended family. So my parents married very, very young and also divorced when I was very young. So I have no memory of them being together. And so most of my life, I was raised by a very regimented, strict stepfather. And my mom was an alcoholic and had sociopathic tendencies. So I lived most of my early years being really enmeshed with her as my guardian and my protector against my stepfather, because that was a tricky situation. But I also lived really not being seen properly by her and not realizing that until much later in life, and kind of how that presented when I had a family of my own. So we moved around a lot as well. He was in the military, so I was the new child and the new person in school every 2 or 3 years. And looking back and unpacking that in particular for this episode with Laura and the friendship that we've created, that aspect of masking that I sort of adopted in order to survive showing up in all these new places constantly and being under scrutiny and being the new kid, that's something that we've really unpacked together in our partnership that was deeply, deeply rooted.
Laura, too, what about your cultural background and upbringing as well?
I was born and raised and still here in the Midwest. I am from a family of 6, so I'm one of 4 siblings, and I'm smack dab in the middle. I have 2 older brothers and a younger sister. I just now am relating to, oh, what being a middle child meant then and how that still shows up now. I was always so expressive. So my family, we would make home videos all the time. So we would do like dance competitions and we would act out things. And I was really expressive. I loved to dance. I loved to sing. Everything in my family was everything we did was just a big adventure. So my dad would take us to work with them and to remotes and he would make it fun. And I remember one time he let me go up on stage. He was in a band and he still is. He's 72. Just wanted to shout that out. And he let me go on stage and he let me sing. And I remember I was 7 years old. I thought this is the coolest thing ever. And then slowly though, over time, when I would show up in that way, I would get the messaging, whether it's from my siblings or someone outside of my family, of like, oh, you're a little too much. This is too expressive, too dramatic, too big. You're stealing the attention. Or my brother, we would always say, and we joke about this now, you're trying so hard to be cool. Over time, I think I just dimmed that part of me and felt like I needed to be something else to be likable. And so when I talk about having a lot of shadow around that Leo side, it's when I do allow myself to be expressive, I'm like, ooh, how was that received? Or what do they think of me now? And I see that now looking back just at the layers of my childhood.
Okay, now I want to weave them together. So how did you guys first connect as accountability buddies? Because I think one of the things, you know, is a really easy way to like dive into our patterns and see how certain things have played out and how they've landed is how we relate to those in our close, intimate relationships, whether it's romantic, friendship, coworkers, boss to employee, like whatever it is, we're playing out some sort of dynamic. And I love how Janelle, our in-house therapist, always says, we're looking to get a corrective experience. Maybe we're not looking for all the same things or patterns, but we're looking to get our needs met and for there to be a shift in some way. Both of you really connected in a way that allowed both of you to feel really safe as you were exploring some really deep, painful stuff. So how did you guys create that container? How did you connect and be the inspiration for other people, you know, looking for accountability buddies out there as well?
So we were in the challenge, right? We were both in the TBM community. And I was paired with a different accountability partner. You know, we were very much there to talk about what we were manifesting and just share, but there was no soul connection. It felt like checking something off of my list. And Laura and I connected in the community chat through like a third party conversation. I think we found each other in the comments of someone else's post. And one of us expressed something and the other one was like, yeah, that's it. And I think Laura, you reached out to me to say, hey, do you maybe want to message offline? Do you maybe want to connect on Instagram or somewhere else? And I was like, sure. And so we were voice messaging and it was very different experience than I've had with anyone else because we were waiting and we were taking turns. And what I'd experienced in the past was that kind of friendship or relationship with when you're responding, the other person is like, they're responding right away and they expect you to be right away. And it's this like feeding and it just continuous and you get sucked into this vortex and then you're drained and you're exhausted. And this was the complete opposite. We were both very careful with one another, not guarded. It was like we had this awareness of, okay, go slow. This is somebody I can go slow with. And this is somebody I can trust and unmask with at my own pace. So we started voice noting. And it was this unspoken thing that one person would go, and some days it was 5 voice notes, and some days it was 25 voice notes. But you didn't chime in and interrupt. And so they said their piece, and then we sign off with, okay, I'm done. And then the next person responds. And that was an unspoken thing that just emerged. And we didn't actually break that rule until we started talking practical things about whether or not to approach you to be on the podcast, because we both got the ping. And that broke protocol for a little bit, but now we're back on it. But I think the difference was, it's so different hearing someone's voice than it is just typing in a community and there's something really intimate about somebody's voice going right into your ear. And I can't journal. I would love to sit down and do the TBM journal prompts. They look juicy. They look amazing. But I can't write anything down without wanting to get it right. Like, I want to write the right thing. I want it to be perfect. But with Laura, vocal processing for me is what embeds something in my brain. So saying it and then talking it out to her and hearing myself say it, and it pings are popping in, and I'm making the patterns and I'm making the connections, and I'm leaving that in real time. And then I'm hearing her echo that back, or maybe pick up on something else when she voice notes me back, and I've had time to process. So there's not like this, her trying to problem solve for me in the moment. I get the space to learn to do that for myself. And I mean, that's like the massive true gift of what we do for each other, is we're listening, we're processing, but we're also giving ourselves that space to really figure it out.
I'll add to that too, that we connected over both being generators from Human Design. I think you shared a podcast with me and I was like, yeah. And that's how he eased in a little bit. And also to note that Lisa and I are both the friends and like our friend groups who would ask the deeper questions, right? So we would go into the group and like, tell us what your meaning of life is along those lines. And everyone plays along. But in our relationship, what was so great is that we were both asking those questions to each other. And you really feel kind of that seen, heard, and understood when someone's reflecting that back to you. And it feels very reciprocal. And I think that's how we were able to build just this solid foundation where, not only because we were doing this work and it requires you to be vulnerable anyways, but we felt such trust in each other because we're both willing to go there. No one was really like holding back, and we had a lot of honesty from the get-go.
You know, as someone that might identify as anxiously attached, especially we see it in romantic partnerships, but when someone texts and then their text message is read or viewed and then there's no message back, there is a deep sense of panic that happens for people. And I think having the expectation understood that, no, this isn't, we're not going to create a codependent dynamic here where we feel an obligation to respond immediately, or that you will think any ill will if I don't respond, you know, in this way or anything. I'm processing in my own time, you're processing in your own time. And it's really developing true trust, because it's saying, I can take care of my emotional state. Here is this. I'm going to leave it for you. I trust that you can check in when you have space. And the fact that it was through voice notes versus that in person, like, especially as someone I definitely used to really identify as anxiously attached, you're kind of scanning body language for like, uh-oh, was that the thing I said that now their energy changed? Have they shifted? You know, the hypervigilance comes out, and having no physical response and just hearing in the tone of voice, I think allows a little bit more space. It's almost like that safe bridge. Can we start a relationship from this place where we can have these parameters there? And thus having them and the trust allows you both to share really vulnerable and deep. I mean, it is scary to tell a random person on the internet your deepest, darkest things going on. And yet, when you look back at some of the most profound healings and transformations, community is a big part of it. Being seen by another and being heard and feeling, wow, I feel that I matter to this person. I feel that my perspective matters, that what I say is valid, is so deeply healing that, you know, yes, the journaling and the DIs, and we try to have the highest self come in and we give it to ourselves and we reflect that we're the autonomous person that we can turn to. But then having that extra layer of being seen and heard by someone is so, so powerful.
We had a test around this too. Mm-hmm. So recently, I forgot to say all done after I, you know, completed my voice notes. And I think like a week went by. Maybe that's been the longest. And we usually give each other a heads up like, hey, I'm going on vacation. Probably won't hear from me for a while. I hadn't heard from her. And I recognized this old patterning come in of, she's still cool for you now. maybe she doesn't like you anymore, or you said something that triggered her. And it was such a short time of where I sat in that compared to when maybe I would stay there for days. And immediately I kind of had this, no, not only do I trust the relationship that we have built and that she wouldn't treat me that way, but also I trusted myself that I was good enough and like I was good enough to be in this friendship. And I shared that with her because she reached out to me and was like, hey, I haven't heard from you. I just wanted to make sure you're all done. And I was like, oh my gosh, it wasn't even warranted because I was the one that forgot to say all done. And we had a laugh about it. But I do want to share that because I just want to normalize that those feelings can still be super present sometimes.
Yeah. And the pleasing part of me, actually, there was a time when that was the same time and I realized you forgot to say all done. And this big period of time was going by and I realized, oh, she's waiting to hear from me. She's going to think this and I should go in and reassure her that I was just waiting. And then I realized like, wait a minute, this is all going to be fine. So I had the same trigger on my end. And in fact, you said I'm done. And my first voice note was, okay, this kind of triggered me around this need to reassure you because I figured you might be feeling that way. But then I was like, she'll be fine. I just got this really strong feeling. I'm like, nope, we're good. We've established this foundation. I can trust that I'm showing up exactly as I need to right now without needing to be something for her, and she'll be okay on her end as well. And that is profound to get to that point. And doing the TBM work, but doing it with Laura as well, it's made me realize that in order to get to the truth of realizing who I am and what I truly want, I have to be seen. Because I don't think you can really do that to the fullest extent until you start to let yourself be seen. And you need a safe place, whether that's your current family or making a new family and friends, but you need that place to kind of wade into those testing grounds and practice those boundaries and practice trying on this new shedding of the old ways and exposing yourself. And you need that safe place to do that. And I don't know that you can curate that or artificially create that environment. Look, it doesn't come without risk. When we first started opening up, we kept it within the confines of, this is me. Like, these are only things about me. I'm not going to really tell you about my family. I'm not going to talk about my kids or my husband or mom and dad. We're just going to keep it here. There was this trust that not only did we have to unmask ourselves at some point, but we had to talk about how we were feeling in relation to the other people in our world and how that was maybe affecting us. And so she could have rejected me when I unmasked. She could have rejected me when I shared a fight between my husband and I, you know, there could have been judgment at any point. And so wading into these waters doesn't come without guarantees, but it all strengthens who you are. And so you have to let yourself be seen in these new ways. And having a container for that is so important. And I think it's really hard to do this work in isolation.
Such a good point. And I'm also kind of thinking too, you know, for you and the dynamic that you grew up with your mom, that level of being seen and your truth kind of taking the primary role there probably felt so foreign. And I think for a lot of people, like sharing about your deepest, darkest intimacy is the last thing anyone, you know, might want to jump into. I think over the years, I've learned the quicker I can get there, the more greatness is on the other side. But that took work and training to even get there. How did you, I guess, did you go into the challenge thinking, okay, I want to be able to open up and be more vulnerable and be more seen? Like, what were your initial goals? And then how did being seen start to be like, oh, this is actually something really almost like in the way of my healing?
Look, when it became popular for moms to have self-care, and that whole put yourself first thing came out. And I just shared this with a friend this morning. I lied. And I'm like, I've got a self-care routine. Yeah, totally. And no, I don't. I strong arm my way through everything. So I thought I would go in and strong arm my way through the TBM work and figure out the rules, figure out how this thing worked, and then just kick its ass, basically. And so I grabbed the accountability partner, the first person. It was like, there was this message, hey, get an accountability partner for the challenge. And it was like a game of musical chairs where I'm like, I better snap someone up before all the chairs are gone. And so I said yes to the first person that asked without even thinking, is this person a good match for me? So there's clue number one. I just thought I could move through it in a very cerebral way, leaving the emotions aside. So there was one point in my relationship with Laura where, I mean, I was pretty masked for the first part of it. I was really good at only letting you see what I want you to see. And so that was, you know, it was for a decent amount of time. And I remember, because we walk and talk, I'll go on like a 4-mile walk and I'll respond to her message. I'll listen to her messages and I'll respond. There's one walk and I remember where I was standing and I was like, okay, you got to take this chance. If you don't take this chance now, who knows when? And she may think you're emotionally immature, because I remember thinking Laura was so much more emotionally intelligent than me. And she is. She was a huge expander for me when it came to that. And I remember being so calculated in my responses to her, trying to match that energy. And I think that was the first time I let that guard down and I was just, bleh. I just dumped whatever it was as myself, hit the send button, I'm done, and then just sort of waited with like a knotted stomach for her to come back. And I don't know if that was the moment that changed the dynamic between us, where you then felt like I can do that too a little bit more, but I just had to get sick of myself and have the awareness that this was my chance.
I don't know about all of you, but during the pandemic, I started thinning out a lot in my hair. I had a lot of hair shedding. It was a stressful time. I got sick multiple times, and unfortunately, I started losing some hair. And as someone who has very thin, fine hair, when I lose any amount of hair, it is very noticeable. So one of my goals for 2022 was to find hair care that would really support and thicken my hair and get it growing and moving again. In comes the Acton Acre hair care system. I started using them last summer and the results have been phenomenal. My absolutely favorite product by them that I keep recommending and gifting to everyone is their cold press scalp detox oil. I learned from their founder, who's a board certified trichologist who specializes in holistic scalp health, that the scalp is really what helps the hair grow or not grow. So if you have too much buildup debris from hard water, shampoos, lipids, and other unclean hair products, your hair is going to have a really hard time growing and growing lusciously. So she created and manifested an entire line of products that really help rebalance the scalp, bring nutrients to it, and help your hair grow and live its best life. So the detox oil will really help repair any imbalances in the scalp, promoting hair growth. It breaks down oil, buildup, soothes scalp irritation, inflammation, and reduces itchiness and flakiness. And I've got to say, this paired with their stem cell serum, which is also helping with any hair thinning, it really stimulates hair growth, helps strengthen the hair, especially after times of stress, which is what I went through in 2020. I had so much hair growth. I noticed immediately in the first couple of weeks with baby hairs at the front of my face, and then all of a sudden my hair had almost doubled in length over the past couple months, so much so that you guys in the community have been noticing and asking me what the heck I'm doing with my hair, because it is growing like wild. So the duo that I am obsessed with is their stem cell serum as well as their scalp detox vitamin E oil. Try out this next level hair care support by going to actonacre.com and use the code TBM20 at checkout for 20% off your order. They have tons of other products, including a plant-based hair capsule that helps support your body from the inside out to help your hair grow and be resilient and thick as well. Again, the code is TBM20 for 20% off, and let us know how you like your new hair. Laura, what about you? What were you initially coming into the challenge with, and how were you perceiving things on the other end as Lisa was starting to share more and more and more?
Yeah, so I jumped into TBM, I think, in the middle of the challenge is when I first came in. And before that, I was listening to the podcast and I was listening to an episode around shadow, and they were, and Lisa was explaining what it was. And I was like, I don't have that. I can't think of anything. I can't think of one thing. And I'm listening to this and I'm like, this is so interesting though. And then like 5 minutes later, I was like, oh, I do too much. And it was like the first connector. That was the first shadow word that I was able to identify. So when I came into the challenge and I met Lisa
and we started opening up, I think I was also doing the same thing, Lisa, that you were doing. I think I was putting on the coaching hat and I was reflecting. I wanted to be likable, right? I wanted to, and I didn't want to be too much. So I didn't want to share too much of me or feel like I'm hogging up any space. And so slowly we just gave each other permission to just go a little bit further. Like, I'm going to call myself out on this. And the more that we called ourselves out and the more that we came back with acceptance and compassion, connection, rather than judgment, comparison, competition, we were able to see each other for who we really are. And that was really the first time for me that I could lay it all out on the table. Someone was able to see it all. They were able to respond to me in a way that made me feel heard and accepted. It just really led me to go deeper into this work, to feel like, as Lisa mentioned, you had a safe space to come back to and that you knew that you could say something. And even if there was, oh, I can't believe she just said that, it was still along the lines of, okay, that means I can go there too.
So what were you both calling in the challenge? Like, what did you initially come to TBM hoping to manifest from it? And then through your time together and through the journey through the challenge and post-challenge, what sort of has shaken out on the other side?
Well, number one on my list was find someone to connect with who was also doing this work. I wanted to have someone who I could feel like a reciprocal relationship. So that came through almost immediately. So I had that. I wanted to remodel our primary bath and I wanted to start my own business. I had just quit my corporate job and I knew where I wanted to go, but I had no idea how that was going to come to fruition. So I had that on there. Those were probably the biggest things. And all of those have come to fruition over the past year and a half, some faster than others. And a lot of them, some of the little ones on there, like I wanted to have the cash for a second car. When that came through, it turns out I didn't want to use that cash for the second car anymore. And I wanted to use it for something through my code, financial freedom. I wanted to max out my IRA. So it was interesting. At least then I had a lot of those. Oh, we got the thing we wanted. I don't think I want that anymore. Actually, this feels a little more aligned.
So Lisa, what was on your list?
So the list was the hardest part of TBM work. Because in order to do the list, I had to say, what do I want? And I must have listened to the episode where Lacey talks about not being able to manifest for others like 20 different times, because those first lists were, that was me controlling my world through other people, because I figured they were more capable of bringing in these manifestations and I was more capable of receiving them through others than I was of myself. So I had to be comfortable making the list. And I remember writing things down and saying like, okay, Laura, I want to make this much money in my business. And it just felt naughty. It felt like so insane. And I, in preparation for this talk today and what I was going to say, I looked back at my early list and it was so modest and sweet and naive. I did get a manifestation right away. And this one is actually really crazy. So the first thing that I put on there that came from like a soul aligned place and a vain place, because I remember waking up in the morning and having face wrinkles from sleeping on the side of my face. I'm like, oh, I need a silk pillowcase. And I wrote it down, silk pillowcase. And then I told my family, I figured out what I want. I want a silk pillowcase. The next day, I got a promotional thing in my DMs on Instagram. Hey, you want to try a silk pillowcase for free and we'll give you a code to share it with your followers.
Whoa.
I mean, it was like you told me unicorns were real. It was the craziest thing in the world. So since then, my cosmic Amazon is what my son calls it. My cosmic Amazon has been really, really high. So those things come easily. The things that come hard are the ones where I had to do the shadow work and the unblocking. So money is actually breadwinner specifically is part of my authentic code. And to own that word breadwinner has taken almost 2 years to get to the point where I can put that in my code and be like, oh yeah, that's where we're going right now. So a lot of mine were around money and the way that I want to receive for what it is that I put out into the world and asking to receive for what I'm putting out was most of my TBM work, being okay with receiving.
It's interesting too that you say that you wanted to like manifest through other portals, because I think so many times, specifically with money, we're like, well, you know, if my partner can just make a little bit more and I'll make a little bit more, then our whole household will be higher. Instead of saying, what if I could manifest all the money that I want for our whole household? Why do I have to have the pressure on that other person to do that thing? It's immediately showing you that one block. Why am I already putting a ceiling on myself? And so I think money is one of the ones, it's so funny. Lacey says, like, once you figure out the energetics of money, it's so easy. And I get it, but it's so layered and complex. Every part of your emotional spectrum is tied in with it, because money represents safety, security, value, all these things that are so tied to our sense of self, our upbringing, our needs, all of those things. So yeah, it makes a lot of sense that that was going to be a huge one to navigate. And it's interesting that you both had semblances of that on your list.
Definitely. And the one I didn't know that I wanted was friendship. And I remember, you know, when Laura was saying that one of the things she was calling in was being able to have a, not just a friendship, but a reciprocal friendship, one where you're receiving as much as you're giving. And I remember thinking, okay, I can be that for you. That's no problem. But I never once thought, well, what are you going to be for me? Which is so common. So, you know, and then of course, through us talking, one of the big things that we're able to do for each other with this processing together is identifying patterns. And I think that's something that's so hard to do with the TBM work is this a test? What's happening? Where am I in this cycle? And I couldn't see my own patterning. I couldn't even spot a test. And I remember, Laura, the first time I voice messaged you and I was talking and I was like, this is totally a test. Oh my God. I could see it. But that had to be reflected and shown to me again and again and again. And that's just like having that gift, or having Laura say to me, do you remember last year you had something similar happen? So maybe there's a little bit more left over. To have somebody have my history like that in one place and be able to help me identify what's happening in the moment from that perspective is incredible.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So what tests started coming up? You know, is there a particular pattern that was reoccurring a lot when you were navigating all of this stuff for each of you?
I'm going to start with, because I think this is a fun one, the manifestation of having my primary bath remodeled. So this is something I've wanted for a long time. The house is built in the 80s. So we wanted this done. And finally, the money came through really quick. Lisa and I do a very good job with calling each other out when a manifestation comes through to say, hey, can we like pause and celebrate this for 1 second? Can you remember you wanted this? Because I think we're so quick, they come through and you're like, okay, what's next? To pause and just think, wow, here it is.
One note on that that I think is important for people to check in with is that feeling of, okay, on to the next. A, it's, you know, growth, societal conditioning, but it's also because once your manifestation comes in, your self-worth is raised so much that that is like, yeah, of course that would come in here. Like, it doesn't feel like this magical drop-in anymore, because you are at the same level as that thing coming in. You're kind of just like, yeah, of course. So it doesn't feel like that big of a deal. But I think that pause and then intentional, like, no, I worked really hard to get myself here and to feel like this is almost no big deal. And like, of course, this is coming through like this. I could have foreseen it. That means you've grown a lot since that initial moment.
I'm so glad you said that. That's so true. It also to look at yourself and say, oh my gosh, my trust has multiplied, or I believe in myself more. And that has been such a big thing for me, is self-trust. So with this bathroom, it was like this dream situation. We were going to Hawaii and we said, let's have our bathroom remodeled while we're gone. And so while we were there, we got a call from our contractor that one of the plugs in the water line had come off on the weekend while he was not there, had come out, and it flooded. And we get this call at 5 a.m. This was actually a big test for me right there. It was, am I going to let this ruin my vacation? or am I going to surrender and trust that he can handle it? That's what insurance is for. And so we chose to do that. And I think being on vacation helped. It helped to be like, I'm not going to let this ruin my vacation. So that ended up happening. And this, here's the silver lining with the flood. I truly believe the flood needed to happen is when they ripped off our basement ceilings to replace it. They found that a dryer vent had come off and the whole ceiling was filled with dryer lint. Whoa. So it was a huge fire hazard and they fixed it, obviously. And so right away we were like, we're so glad that that happened. And there's still another piece, if you can believe it, our tub. When we got home, we have this beautiful bathroom and this beautiful tub and it has a crack in it. So the tub is already in there and I'm telling Lisa this and it has a crack in it and they're saying, you know, we could get it fixed for $300. And as I'm telling her this, I kind of like feel this sinking and I have this feeling of, well, that's probably what we should do. And this connects back to me feeling like the not good enough of, well, I don't deserve to have them rip it out and put in a brand new tub. This is just what it is for me. This is how it works for me. I'm the knockoff. There's way more to that. There's way more to that. Mm-hmm. Just letting that come through. And Lisa kind of called me out on this too. She's like, hey, what do you want? Do you really want to sit in that tub every single night and know that there's a crack there, even though you fixed it and it's not how you want it to be? So we're going to have to spend more money to get a new tub in. We decided to do it. I said, you know what? Let's do it. It came in and it ended up being last minute on sale. And our designer was able to get it for even less on that it was on sale. So it actually ended up being less money than the original tub, which we would end up paying more for if we fixed the crack.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a big one.
It's the burnt toast story. We're like, Yes. It's fine. It's still good. I can eat it or I can throw it away and say, oh, well, it's not cooked the way I want and do it again. And it would have been such an easy thing for you to settle for that. And it's such a relatable manifestation story because I know when I first heard it, I was like, I probably would have just fixed the crack in the tub because it would have been the easiest thing.
Yeah. Well, you really expanded me to go for it. And I felt ready. I felt like, no, I deserve this.
I think this is such a good example because when we talk about aligned action, right, you know, you're expanding, unblocking, taking aligned action, and all of them are at this dance together for your self-worth. But our level of self-worth is showing through all of our actions all day long. It's kind of like this dance of how do I connect my self-worth with the things that fill my soul up? So for you with the tub, that was a big part. You know, that's a part of your self-care or nurturing or putting yourself first. Your bathroom manifestation was a big deal to you. Like you wanted to have that space. And so there were probably parts of your authenticity that reflected in that room. So having the knockoff version, which it sounds like that was sort of a repeating pattern history for you, it's knowing, oh, this is sort of a limiting belief that I have lodged in there, that I am just the knockoff version. I have to settle for this. And then when your manifestation comes through, the universe is like, it'll almost like poke your limiting belief to be like, okay, it's everything you want except for this little thing. Like, are you really gonna fight on that? It's not that big of a deal, right? And it's looking for you to take that aligned action to now actually meet where your authenticity is meeting your self-worth and you can connect with your manifestation. So I think that's a beautiful example. And I love the burnt toast one too. That's so true. Like how many times do you burn the toast and you're like, well, I don't want to waste it. So like I'll have charred toast in my mouth, even though it tastes terrible. Why would we do that? But I've done that a million and one times.
So true.
It's funny too, because you said, I don't know, the way that you were just summarizing that reminded me of getting to that point where you can say, I want the tub the way I want it, but it's not driven by ego. Laura and I both recently, and I had this moment where I realized I was calling things in and I was asking for what I want. There was no emotional turmoil about it. It was just the way it was. And I wasn't getting that adrenaline rush when I was pushing for it, meaning my ego had been relinquished at that point. So I could feel the difference between me calling things in and wanting things for ego, and then the moment that that shifted. So it was beautiful because that happened right before it happened for Laura. And she's going through all these things and she's like, I feel this. And she was walking me through and I was like, well, wait a minute, you're in an up level. Congratulations. It feels like shit, doesn't it? I'm like, it sucks. And like, we think of up levels and we're like, oh, this is going to be so great. And it's just so shiny. I'm going to glow. I'm going to be golden. And it's like, no, up levels can be really icky and really hard. And I was so excited because I was like, this is it. You're doing it. And that was the moment that the ego almost dies and you finally accept that, like, of course these are the way things should show up. Of course this is how life should be. So I wanted to share that little up level thing because I know I would be so envious when I would listen to this podcast and read people's stories in the community of their up levels. And I'm like, oh, it must feel so juicy and powerful. And it truly is the opposite. If you're doing it right, it doesn't feel great.
I love that you say that. I'm actually my own version of that right now. And I said to my friend the other day, I was like, I need to do some serious nervous system practices and work because it's here. I feel that shift. It's like a deep knowing shift to this new thing. New things are showing up. Things are showing up in a totally different way. The expansion showing up in a totally different way. And my nervous system is like, what the heck are we doing here? Like, this is a huge new space to fill. This is a new energetic baseline. And I think there is so much grounding that needs to be done. I'm sure everyone's up levels look a little bit differently, but I have a lot of Capricorn in my chart and I need a lot of grounding, a lot of earth, nature. I think everybody really needs that, honestly. But yeah, I think the up level is a beautiful time, and really remember, like, this is a whole new version of you and celebrate it, but also know it's okay if it feels really tricky to navigate.
Yeah. And I kind of recognized it when my nervous system was being really triggered. And the only thing that felt good was to spend time in the new inner child and to spend time in abundance and deservingness. Like, I didn't have the energy to do my hardcore unblocking or shadow. I wanted to be supported. And those DIs are so good for that period of time.
Yeah. Anytime I would do up level, I shared this in this submission, I would get so mad at myself because I would always have to get out of it. And Lacey says it in there. She's like, you might need to go back to boundaries, go back to inner child. I'm like, no, I need to complete this in its entirety. I'm here. But it's, for me, it's meant to be that way. Oh, okay. Now that I'm here, it's really uncomfortable. I'm reacquainting myself with this new environment, new person. What do I need? And that might require me, I have to go back and I have to go into boundaries, or I have to go back and I have to do some unblocking, but it's just part of it.
But I think that's the up level. I started up level 2 or 3 times, then I realized, oh, wait, I haven't fixed these things. I'm not ready for up level. But now I'm realizing actually that is the up level right there. That's what you're being called to do. That's what you're in at the moment. You see it through. Just keep on going.
Okay. So Lisa, what about you? What tests started presenting? And what was some of the like core narratives? We're starting to hear some of Laura's that were operating beneath some of her manifestation. So what were some of the ones that were presenting for you?
A lot of my tests came around, this would be so easy for you to take care of. Just do it. It would be so easy for you to just do this thing and do this for this person or be this for this person in this way, just do it. So setting boundaries around what I was willing to be for somebody else and what I wasn't was really big. And then that started presenting in work. I started to get a lot more tests for, you know, hey, will you take less money for this? This isn't quite what I want. Can you do a custom thing for that? And I was saying yes to a lot of those. And then I started to recognize that I would be drained, which meant that I was failing that particular test. And I had to learn the hard way what that felt like in my body. I think my biggest, should I talk about the camera? The camera was my biggest thing. That was on my list. So I'm a photographer and I specialize in the iPhone. I shoot remotely and I teach people how to shoot self-portraits using the iPhone. And I couldn't see myself. I couldn't see that that was what made me unique or different or special. So I had this mentality that I wasn't a real photographer if I didn't have like the newest, latest DSLR camera, and I didn't have that in my arsenal. So I'm like, I know I need to get a camera. I know I just need to open myself up and learn how to use this thing and be really, really good at it so that I can become a real photographer. And I would sit and craft my new list, and I would diligently carry the camera over from list to list to list. And so that went on for like, well, as long as I've known you, Laura, like a year and a half at least. And then finally I'm like, I'm just going to get the camera. And I got it. And I'm like, okay, this is so exciting. I'm going to take it out of the box. I'm going to read the instructions, which is not my thing, but I did it, and I did it the right way. And I remember sitting there with it and feeling like it was so foreign to me, and it felt so weird. And I just had this revelation of, this is a piece of plastic. I've wrapped up my whole self-worth and my identity with what I do for my profession in the piece of equipment that I use. And this was holding me back in so many ways from this like log jam of opportunities that were trying to come through had I just embraced my original unique path. So I had the revelation, this is just plastic. This doesn't mean anything. So I sent it back, telling myself, I'll get a different camera and that one's going to feel different in my hands. But then once I sent it back, all these like flood of opportunities that had just been waiting for me came through, and they were so easy and they were so abundant. And it was like having my pick. And of course, you know, hindsight, right? So if I had done this for myself 2 years ago, and I'd be in a much different place right now, but I needed to go through that moment and face that test of, well, this is what you think you need, or you could just trust that you're enough exactly as you are, and you're already operating at your highest level with the path that you're on. So that camera for me was like, that just uncorked everything.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So one thing, because we get this question a lot, because people will have like a camera or a physical item on their list and they're like, well, if I go out and buy it, is it manifesting? Yes, but it depends on what that means and how that navigates for you. Are you stepping through fear to purchase it because you never spend money on yourself and you put it on your list because you really want to focus on how to honor yourself and put yourself first? Then that's your manifestation when you step through that fear and purchase that thing. So talk about sort of, was there a certain way in which you wanted the camera to come through that you were waiting to purchase it for? Were you waiting for a certain money? Like what made it go, I'm just going to do it today. I'm just going to go out and get it.
Yes. Money was a concern, and money had come through. So I finally had the money in my account that I'd made through my business to get the camera. But the bigger push was honestly just voice noting Laura. And I was listening to myself talk about the camera again. And then I just started saying like, I'm so sorry. I'm still talking about this camera. Like, what is the deal? I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it. So I set that intention for myself to just make it happen. And I remember there was a permission piece in there to buy it for myself. So it was more than having this thing. It was, can I have this thing? Should I spend my money on this thing? Is this the medicine that I'm looking for to get me to the next place or where I want to be or the person I want to be? And in that case, it wasn't. It's like, it's probably no different in the end than thinking that you want to have your house repainted a particular color, and then you get it and you're like, okay, it looks great. Now what do I want? And it's just, it doesn't feel your soul. So for me, it was like, no, this doesn't feel like the thing. For me, it was kind of a jump into the fire thing. I know I'm putting too much pressure on this camera and I don't need it. And I already know I'm enough, but I feel like I've got to just do it to see. And I remember, Laura, you saying like, just get it and see. There's no harm in just trying it. So sometimes you just have to eliminate things.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I think that is so, especially when it's preoccupying your mind like that, if you aren't able to remove your sense of self-worth from it, if there's that like, yeah, but if I got it, like, what if blah, 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 you know, the what ifs run wild. It's like, okay, great. Why don't you just manifest the thing? You'll come to the conclusion that it was never about this thing, but physically having it in person is going to give you expansion in a way that theorizing that you wouldn't really care about it when it came through cannot do.
Yep.
You really took ownership after that. You were like, okay, this is me. This is what's great about me. This is what my business is. And you had the magnetism to prove it. You didn't need that, but you got it.
Thank you.
By now, you're starting to get the feel for TBM. Maybe you've heard about our workshops and you're interested in manifestation, but you just don't have the time or energy to sit down and do self-help work. We totally get it. In fact, that's why we created the Daily Practice, which is our massive library of self-hypnosis tracks that you can do anytime without having to jump into a workshop. We call these tracks our Deep Imaginings, or DIs. DIs are different than normal meditations because we designed them using a combination of self-hypnosis techniques, deep theta waves, EMDR-informed tools, and somatic experiencing. A fully loaded formula that is scientifically proven to help you clear your blocks and triggers on a subconscious level, giving you the power to actually create new neural pathways in your brain. So if your boss pisses you off, use our trigger DI. If you want to feel magnetic before a party or an important meeting, use the magnetic self DI. If you're feeling anxious or down on yourself or you need help making a decision, we've got a DI for all of these scenarios and more. You can get full access to the Daily Practice inside the Pathway membership, where you'll also get unlimited access to every workshop, tool, and offering from TBM. The tools in the Pathway membership will support you year-round, whether you're in the worst, a rock bottom, or second worst, a rut, or feeling good and you want to keep the magnetism going. In the Pathway, you'll effectively learn how to become your own manifestation coach, all for less than a dollar a day. So even if you're not ready to start a workshop, join the Pathway and start rewriting your neural pathways now to create magnetism. Work through your triggers and get closer to your authentic magnetic self in order to manifest. Use our special code MAGNETIC, all caps, MAGNETIC, to receive $20 off your first TBM purchase. Again, that's all caps, MAGNETIC. Now back to the episode.
What are some of the other ways that you guys have supported each other through the tests, the up levels, any highs and lows with this process? Because especially when like tests and triggers come up, there was one thing that we had talked about when we were on a phone call prior, but just some of the reflection of your true authenticity and how you could feel safe leaning into certain things, those reflections are so key. It's almost like what we say to ourselves in the DIs, but then having another person say that.
Yeah, I can think of something right away. So when I started my business, when I actually did the thing and Lisa was already more established in hers, I was really careful not to be like, give me all your advice, you know, but she was really forthcoming and really generous of kind of picking up on what I needed to hear. And I just appreciated that so much. And also growing up, I didn't have that modeled. So I didn't know anyone. I didn't know any women in my inner circle that was running their own business. So I never thought that was, I think, subconsciously possible for me. And with Lisa, she kind of like was a myth buster. They're like, no, you can do it this way. And she really expanded me so much. I remember when I kind of had that instant magnetism, I started my business. I felt so aligned. I released my offering. It sold out. I was like, okay, this is easy. This must be it. Okay, great. I'm going to do this again. And I did it again a couple months later and it was like crickets. I think I had a couple signups and then nothing for like a month. And that month was just a magic dark. The whole month was everything came up. Everything came to light. I had to work through so much. Lisa really was able to not only offer me compassion, but she wasn't trying to fix anything for me. She's like, yeah, how can you lean into yourself more? And what do you think you need? And so really bringing it back to me and taking ownership
allowing me to say, okay, like, what do I need during this? And when I finally kind of embodied that of, I'm okay if this doesn't work out. I'm passionate about this and I'll just do it a different way if this isn't going to be the way. And the next day I woke up and I had 3 signups. Like, I went to bed and then that morning it was just there. And it was that of course, right? It wasn't like, oh my gosh, it was, oh, there it is. Okay, I got this. So that is one thing that sticks out to me. I don't know, Lisa, what you have.
I was going to talk about expanders. We bonded over our, I'm going to use the word consumption of expanders because I consumed my expanders, like I devoured them until I got to the gristle and I wasn't actually satisfied until I found the gristle. I knew it. I knew there was something about you that was too good to be true. I found your core. I found your truth. I found this thing that you've been hiding, right? And that was so satisfying for me to do that. And I remember talking to Lauren, like, what is that about? Why do I dig and dig until I find the thing that makes them real? They stop being this mythical creature and I see them for the person they actually are. I was mirroring and finding what I found in my expanders that was mirroring what I was presenting to the outside world as well. But what I really needed to see was that this is just a real person figuring it out. And they might be on this podcast and they might be sharing how they grew their $1 million business or manifested their mansions or whatever. But I mean, they still wake up with a pit in their stomach in the morning. They still have to figure out how to show up in the world. And Laura was always really good at, like, I found this expander that gave me this little piece and she'd take that little snack and walk away. And I was like, oh, how are you satisfied with that? How do you not just want to like find it? And so she was really good at reflecting that back to me, but letting me have that realization that it's okay to take what I need from the expander. And that was something that you led me to. You let me get to that on my own, but you saw the way I was with expanders from the very first moment.
I think that's so interesting because I think the urge to humanize them in a way creates incredible expansion because you're like, oh, they're human. They're just like me. But the line between, you know, a ping to explore more, to see their human side, to help expand you, and sort of that like compulsive urge, like I can't just take a bite-sized snack. I have to only go all the way down the rabbit hole. That's when it's like, why is this presenting as a need when I can just take that small piece from them and move on? And I love how you just layer by layer was able to unravel to say like, okay, what if I trust without having to do the due diligence that everyone has that piece? And that's when I can take the snack bite from someone trusting, yeah, I know their whole life is not this glossy magazine cover or Instagram feed. They definitely have their own stuff. I don't actually need to know their own stuff. I just need this little piece right now. It's like leaning into the trust of it all too.
Trust and surrender. For the first year, Laura and I were like, how do you trust and surrender? What does that look like? How do we get that right? How do we make that happen? And we were trying to so figure it out, like, oh, I think I have the formula for trust and surrender. And looking back now, it is funny. It just comes. You know it when it's there. That's been a common theme that we've reflected back and forth for our whole friendship and supporting one another. It's been, how do you trust and surrender? And how can you be in more of that? Because that's the hardest part to figure out.
There's a good piece in there too of, I used to be the person who could never make a decision on their own. So I needed everybody to weigh in. I needed to hear what you had to say. Then I would make my decision. But then also it never felt right. So I would sit there and I would say, oh, I just had to hear for one more person. And with Lisa, we could have fallen into that really easily. But because how our relationship was built, we had the time to pause. We're still doing the work in between. We're coming to these own conclusions. And over time, that was building my self-trust of, I can put it out there and I can say, I'm thinking about this, but no one's trying to fix it for me. And that really helped. That really helped me, that time to process and reflect and integrate before coming back and then being able to share what came up just solidified it.
Okay, talk about this a little bit because Lisa, I'm curious, for your energy type in human design, the generators, right? Like some energy types need to ride their emotional waves before they can really understand what their core gut is. And then some people it's like immediate. What do you, Laura, I'm assuming you are the emotional wave one. And then Lisa, what about you?
I'm sacral. So I feel it in my body. So as soon as something, for example, as soon as something comes out of my mouth and I agree or commit and it goes against what I really, really want to do, but I haven't given myself that pause to think about what I want before I answer, it's this gut reaction of, nope, you just signed up for the wrong thing. So I have to give myself that time to wait to see if it's what feels good and process it sacrally. My gut knows it's a gut clench or it's just like a whole body yes.
So I think that's also an important distinction too for anyone at home who might be outsourcing their advice to other people. I'm like having this realization right now because my fiance is way more the energy type that you are, Laura, where he needs like 24 hours almost to like really reflect on it to know the right decision for him. But he wants the answer now. So he's like, what should I do this? I'm not really asking for advice, but like, do you think I should do this? You know, and I'm like, just come on, you got this. Check in with your gut. What is the answer? Where I'm like, I know, like if I give myself a few seconds, there is a pull one way or the other almost immediately. A lot of my life, I overrode whatever that pull was to be the answer that I thought other people wanted it to be. And now it's stepping into, no, I have a pull. And, you know, maybe I'm like, okay, even though it's a different solution, you know, especially on team stuff, I'm like, okay, everyone wants to go a different way. That's fine. But I know for me what I was pulled to. And registering that as a yes, I think is really important. So I think anyone thinking, is this a test? How do I navigate? Maybe think about which style you identify more with. And start to lean into that, explore into that more. You know, do you need a 24-hour wave or a 40-hour wave or a couple-hour waves to feel all the emotions? Think about the possibility. And then it's like, ah, that's the answer. Laura, when it comes through for you, when you've allowed yourself to sit in that pause, what does it feel like when you get an answer back?
So when it comes through, from being someone who I'm very extroverted, I want to be surrounded by people. I want to hear their opinion. I want to let them in on what I'm doing. It's kind of the complete opposite for me when I make a decision. I actually need to make the decision first on my own, and then I can go and share it. Otherwise, I might be swayed.
Well, for you too, like you've described this as, so sometimes it's not so strong one way or the other. Sometimes it's this feeling of just neutral. Not I don't care, but it's just I feel neutral. Like you've said that a few times when things feel good, you're okay going that direction. You're like, yeah, I feel neutral about it. It's not triggering me. It's not firing me up. It's not repelling me. But neutrality is, I mean, a completely underrated way to feel. And there's so much value in recognizing when you're feeling neutral about something and not triggered. And I don't think you always have to wait for such a strong pull either way, because there's a lot of beauty in getting to the place where you can feel neutral.
Yeah, that's like my baseline, right? And I know, Lisa, we've talked about this so much. Like, you know, you can go up and down and up and down. You can ride the waves of manifestation. I'm up here. It's all working out for me. Oh my gosh, I'm all the way down here. But where do you hit, like in the middle, to kind of like take you down and take you up? And it's that neutral, that's that foundation you've built for yourself. And also what I've found is I can make the wrong decision and it's going to be okay. I'll get back on track. In fact, that's happened to me so many times where I'll say, yeah, I'm going to take this. And then the next day I get an email and they're like, you know what? Actually, we're going to go with someone in-house. That's just an example. I was like, oh, why didn't I just listen to my gut? I didn't even want this. And you're just always going to be pushed back on track.
So how did some of the manifestations end up, land, like now thinking of what you guys had on your list initially when you were starting this work and what has really come through on the other side, you know, besides sort of the material of it? It's almost like, what was the lesson that you wound up learning that you didn't foresee that you were going to actually learn when going into it all?
Well, for me, my manifestations have, I mean, the common thread is showing them the inherent leadership that I have for myself and that I can show up and be seen as I am. So every manifestation that comes through or every opportunity is showing up when I have just been in a state of or am doing something that is just me, just being myself and doing something that's like the opposite of the masking I was doing before. So my business is great. My family, I've stepped out of certain roles that I felt like I had to occupy in my family unit. And it actually created this beautiful space for my husband to step into those roles that he is flourishing in and a little bit better than I am at some of them. So it's just been this beautiful shifting. And I had some pressure and some panic around this because I talked to Laura about this. I turned 50 this year. So I was feeling this need to, okay, now I know these things about myself midlife for me. And now I've got so much I want to do from this point forward. And so for me, that's the real gift, is figuring out what I want and who I want to be going forward, more than any of the material things that have happened.
I'm like a proud mom over here just hearing you. And you know how like people give each other nicknames in a friendship or relationship? I feel like what you and I have done is give each other these little phrases, like as you're talking, I'm like, that's your compassionate authority. Like, you're not protecting the peace anymore. You're protecting your peace. And you've really stepped into that and you've kept your authenticity through it all. You've kept it at the top and it just shows.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. I was thinking about that for you too. The beauty of witnessing you seeing yourself and validating yourself for me, that is my proud moment. The moment that you realize, oh, I've been ignoring this piece of giving myself what I need, and that's the medicine I needed. And when that came through really recently, I mean, I was like, yes, this is it. You're doing it. This is what it looks like. This is your missing piece.
Thank you for bringing that up, because it makes me think about, for me, it's been a journey of trust, of trusting that I am enough, that I can see myself and that's enough, and not needing so much the external validation and learning how to validate myself. Here's the question I'd ask myself. If you trust yourself right now, how would you act? I would just be then. And I would be in my joy. And that's something I learned through this, is how important it is to follow your joy and to stay kind of in that code. You're slowing down and you're trusting that it'll be okay, that you can be with yourself through it all. So that's been the most beautiful part of all of this.
It's so wild how when you think of manifestation work, you're like, okay, show us the glitter and all the things that are coming through. And it's so hard to really paint the picture for anyone who like hasn't been on this journey. But like, gosh, the depth that you can go to with yourself and the joy and the self-love that you can get to. And the manifestation work is like the pretty vehicle, you know, to kind of take you there. Someone asked me on one of my Ask Me Anythings recently, what is you before TBM and what is you now post TBM? And I was like, I think it's one of the, I mean, a million things, but one of the main things is like really understanding what it means to have self-love. It was an abstract idea that I could kind of grasp and understand. And now it's like a deep feeling of like, oh, I know when I'm truly loving myself. So closing questions for both of you, what do you feel like life was pre-TBM and then post this work and this journey you've been on?
I don't stuff things anymore. I don't strong arm anymore. So I can really relate to what you said about self-love. And the first thing it made me think of was, I love the new inner child DI. And I really thought that I would go into that for the third or the fourth or the fifth time and figure it out, know what's coming, and it wouldn't have the effect. But that, I bawl every single time, and being able to go back and connect with this little person that is the resource for most of my shadow that I had to uncover, this vulnerable child that I couldn't even, I had no empathy for her whatsoever, because I she wasn't serving what I needed. So the person before was just very, very disconnected and lots of empathy for everyone else, but none for myself. So being able to, through this work, go in and build that relationship with myself and hang out an inner child and connect with her and like just leave with this very intense feeling of connection and grounding to myself and knowing that I have my own back first in everything. That is probably my biggest transformation. And I didn't have that before.
It's so fun to see someone else's growth in this and to know them on that level and just feel so happy for them. So I just wanted to say that. So for me, self-compassion was such a foreign concept to me, even a couple years ago. You know, it's so easy for us to give that out and to see other people in that way. For example, I always say, like, with my kids, I can tell them all day, like, you're so beautiful. You are so capable. Here's what I want you to believe in yourself. But am I willing to say that to myself? And I have to ask myself, too, if I heard my child saying some of the things that I would say to myself, what would I want them to know? And I try to then give myself that little piece. And that's been a game changer. That has been such a game changer. And it can be really uncomfortable. But something that I've learned along the way is, what rings true to you? So if I say I am enough and in my body that doesn't feel true, what is the wording that hits for me? Maybe it's I am learning to love myself like I would a good friend. So it's constantly meeting yourself where you're at, honoring the person you are right now, and knowing that she's going to be with you the whole time. Like the inner child thing, right? She is you and you are her. You're just going to carry her along and allow yourselves to, you know, just keep shedding and growing and transforming and aligning. And it's just a never-ending process. The more that you can have fun with it and get comfortable and know what's on the other side, the more enjoyable it is. At first, I felt like it was complete this, and then you'll have this, the end, and then you're just there. But I like that.
I also see you protecting what's yours in a different way. Whereas maybe your boundaries were more permeable before and you were okay giving more than you were receiving. And yeah, you can come into my space. I've got room. That's okay. But now I see you like, oh no, I definitely have worked hard for this for myself. And this is where my protection zone is around that. This is what I'm not willing to give anymore. So I see that massive transformation in you. And, that makes my heart happy.
Right back at you, sister. You're doing the same thing.
It's a love fest.
Mm-hmm. Always.
I think that moment of recognition for the growth, for all of the parts, for letting them all be valid and meaningful and have an element that's part of your whole life story, in knowing, wow, I've seen growth in this way. If we can recognize our patterns of growth, then that is saying, this is my new baseline. Like, I've really sat with this. I've really integrated that this is my new sense of self. And so then when we go through those ups and downs, we know that we've raised the bar. We've moved up, you know, we've elevated, we've evolved. Mm-hmm. And so I think that it's such a beautiful container both of you have created. It's so inspiring. I'm like, I need to find my version of this to go through the TBM work with. Yeah, it's really, really beautiful. And I thank you both for sharing so openly and honestly. And I'm sure you're going to get a lot of outreaches after this episode too.
Of course, we're happy. We're happy to help you find this version for yourself. And I hope that you do, Jessica. And thank you so much for having us on to share.
Yes, this was so much fun. I loved every second of it. And I know that everyone is capable of having this too. And it's letting it come and trusting that it will. And just believing that there is that person. It feels like a relationship, like a partnership, right? There is that person out there for you. Definitely.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
I
hope you all enjoyed that episode as much as we did. And if you're starting to get a feel for this to be magnetic manifestation process, but aren't completely sold yet, let me point you to some of our free offerings. You can check out the expanded podcast episode called How to Manifest Anything You Desire, where Lacey, the founder, and I break down exactly what this process is all about. You can check out The Motivation, which is our testimonial library with thousands of testimonials of people who have manifested wild things using this process. Or you can check out our free mini workshop to find out why you're not manifesting and listen to one of our proprietary deep imagining audios, where it's going to help you drop into your theta state and overwrite low self-worth limiting beliefs. Enjoy. We'll see you next week.